We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This hour is brought to you by Ascension Illinois. Compassionate personalized care is a new name, Ascension Illinois.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Joe Buck, how are you?
Hello, Chicago!
The energy. This is downtime now for Joe Buck. Are you in a backyard hot tub as we speak?
I'm looking at one. I'm in a backyard, so you got half of it, right? My boys are inside watching a movie, Tarzan, that came out in 1999.
So you're not going to show them the updated movies? You're going to go back to the old classics?
No. All the old classics are so much better. That's why they're old and that's why they're classic.
Am I so out of touch? No, it's the children who are wrong.
The Johnny Depp, Willy Wonka should be... There should be a town burning of that movie.
Dump them.
That movie was so bad.
Yes.
And the original is probably number one or two in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the redo missed all the heart and everything that made the original great was that Willie was just looking for an honest boy to give the chocolate factory to.
You won! You did it! I knew you would! I just knew you would! Oh, Charlie... Forgive me for putting you through this.
And the round two was just a freak fest.
What was the photograph of Mr. Depp?
It was a photograph of the bed, our bed. And on my side of the bed was human fecal matter.
Hello, Chicago!
One, two, three.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Nicely done by Brian Callahan with the open in for the GOAT, Chris Tannehill, who's off to San Francisco.
That scene on the Johnny Depp bed, that's a pretty good representation of the new Willy Wonka.
It really is. Yeah, I mean, Joe Buck said there should be a public burning of that movie.
It's too bad. I like Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Deep Roy, who is the very interesting, very vertically challenged actor who played all of the Oompa Loompas
yes.
in that movie,
yes.
is a fun and intriguing character. But yeah, that movie didn't have a soul in the way that the original has a soul.
It was a bold choice, though, to have bedroom defecation in a children's movie. That was an interesting choice, I thought, by Burton.
It was so grotesque. That was remarkable.
Johnny Depp won that trial. Like, among those weirdos, they're like, someone was more at fault than Johnny Depp.
Someone was push Amber Heard in a chocolate river. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Get rid of that one.
That's well done.
Yeah.
Sure. Shane, how are you? Are you basking in the glow of Rick Hahn content all over the station, on every show, in every feed, everywhere, making some hosts legitimately and openly jealous that he talks to you and not to them?
Well, I think you should just expect it. And if you don't expect it, then there's no glow to bask in. I'm just confident in my ability to get Rick Hahn to talk. I expected that yesterday.
Wow.
That's the way I'm going about it.
Wow.
My confidence is at an all-time high right now.
That's dangerous.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
It feels good. It does feel good.
Good for you. Good for you. That's good.
You crushed it, man. Seriously. Congratulations.
I'm frightened by extra confident Shane.
Right. Imagine.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
He's going to curse on the air today.
I could.
Yeah?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
You know what he's going to do? He's going to drive back to that toll booth. Take care of business.
Oh, absolutely. Wow.
I might drive back and reject her again.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, just wanted to come back and let you know. I still don't want to go
out
with
I'm still not
you.
Interested, but I actually was lying. I don't have a girlfriend.
Have a good day. All right. Smile when you give back the change.
smile. Yeah, that would be the real twist of the knife.
Yeah.
Joe Strowski just posted that the Bulls are the fourth favorites to land Kevin Durant over at PointsBet.
Wow. That's the Zach LaVine sudden availability in terms of a sign-in trade. Isn't that what that is? And Chicago is a market?
Yeah, I mean...
It's Chicago bettors. You know how that stuff works. They think they can get money on it.
Yeah, it's funny. I just tweeted the Bulls have no shot, so then I see that, and then I'm like, oh, maybe I was wrong.
That's our boy.
Would you include Omar?
Would I include Omar for KD?
Oh, that's a good question.
Local no-name on Twitch wants to know that.
Omar is still with us. The dog.
The dog is still with
Omar
us.
Is Omar still with us?
Yeah.
The dog.
Wow.
No.
Whoa.
You thought about that way too long.
I love the Bulls.
Kevin Durant doesn't even have any sexual assault charges.
Right. He's got.
I didn't know that Deshaun Watson had them when I would trade him, Shane.
At least 24 fewer for Kevin Durant by my count. Maybe even 25 fewer at this point.
Many, many, many fewer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Again, in fairness, and on this one, I feel like we should have some accuracy. When I said I was willing to trade my wife's dog for Deshaun Watson, it was before we knew about any of the charges or allegations. I just feel like that should be said.
This might be the first time you've referred to Omar as your wife's dog.
But I revealed that.
I know, but it makes the trade offer even more egregious.
I know. Well, that's yes, I know. Listen, I love that dog. That dog prefers me to anybody else
doesn't
in the
matter.
House.
It's your wife's dog, and you were still willing to throw it in.
When I told Steph at the time, she's like, you can't trade the dog. That dog was a birthday present to me. Like, oh, yeah. Yes, technically that is true.
Oh, man.
But now we're married. So it's, you know, shared assets. What's mine is hers. What hers is mine. That sort of thing. Is that not how it works?
Is Omar in the prenup?
There is no prenup. Does that surprise you?
Whoa.
Yeah. That surprise you?
Man, when Steph makes all that money.
We took a lot of.
Yeah.
Big leap of faith.
Good.
Yeah.
That's true love, I think.
Yeah, no prenup, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
what did Kanye West say in Gold Digger?
They ain't messing with no.
Something about a prenup.
Yeah. We want prenup.
Hollow, we want prenup. We want prenup. Yeah. It's something that you need to have. When she leave your ass, she going to leave with half.
Look at that.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
18 years.
Confident Shane.
18 years. On his 18th birthday, he found out it wasn't his.
That's right, which was a shame.
Yeah, poor kid.
Yeah, for everybody involved. A real shame. So, would you give up Zach LaVine, Patrick Williams, and the next three highest ranked assets according to Sean Marks and the Brooklyn Nets? If they said, because Zach LaVine is one, Patrick Williams is two in terms of assets on the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you said to Sean Marks and you said, okay, you take our top five assets. For Kevin Durant, whatever they are.
So maybe a future pick down the line if they can?
Yeah, future pick. Yeah, you could trade the Portland pick, which has some protections. You could trade Lonzo Ball.
You could trade Ayo Dosunmu.
You could trade Ayo Dosunmu. Yeah.
Alex Caruso.
You could trade Alex Caruso.
Love to not trade Alex Caruso.
Whatever they wanted. Like, what you know, it would have to be. Say it was that, just for the purposes of the hypothetical. Sean Marks says these are the five assets that I want. It's LaVine, it's a first round pick, it's Patrick Williams, it's Ayo, and it's Caruso. Are you doing it for Kevin Durant?
I don't know if I do it, if I have to throw Caruso in too.
Caruso's the deal breaker for Kevin Durant, the backup point guard who makes $8 million a year, the scrappy defender.
He would start. He would start in this scenario.
Yeah, okay, you're right.
He would immediately start. Remember, he's the LeBron James of being LeBron James's teammate. That is documented. He'd be a great guy to play next to Durant to defend everybody and just kind of make good passes and do that whole thing. I really don't want to give up Caruso. I would do Lonzo and Patrick Williams and Ayo and a future one. Yes, I would do that.
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah, listen, I love Zach LaVine. I think Zach LaVine's awesome. Like I think that Zach LaVine is entering his athletic prime. He's 7 years younger than Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant did not look good in the playoffs this year against Boston. Shane, can you look up how many minutes of basketball or how many games of basketball, just like his total games played on Basketball Reference? Because the guy came into the league at 18 in 2000 and what? LeBron was 03. KD was what? 05? 07. 07. So he's been in the league for 15, 16 years?
939 games played.
Whew. And that's regular season?
Yeah.
So 939 regular season games plus probably 10 or more trips to the postseason?
But he's only started in 936.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm saying keep that in the back of your head.
It's a lot of minutes. That's a lot of minutes on his basketball body, and he did not look good at all in that series against young athletic wings in Boston.
Yeah, but that whole thing was so screwy. The whole Nets thing was so dispirited, and all of their body languages were terrible. Simmons was a maybe just before tip-off of every single freaking game. That thing was chaotic. I frankly give him a pass on this one just because that whole thing was such trash. The last time we saw an able-bodied and spirited Kevin Durant in the playoffs, he was basically winning that Milwaukee series by himself.
Yes.
He didn't win it because his foot was on the line.
Yes.
But that was one of the most remarkable performances I've ever seen in the playoffs.
Completely dominant in every way, completely unguardable, and a plus defensive player. Yeah, he's amazing. I mean, Kevin Durant is, in my lifetime of watching basketball, like the only guys that you can say are like definitively ahead of him are Jordan and LeBron. And then like the other guys, there's at least an argument, like Hakeem, Kobe, Duncan. Well, you know what I mean? Like he's one of the greatest offensive players in the history of the sport.
And, you know, everybody says, oh, man, that guy, tell you what, like Porzingis, he's a unicorn. Or somebody else, they're a unicorn.
No.
Durant is the unicorn. Durant is a legit rim protector.
At times.
Who is a 7'2" guard.
Right, he's one of the best three-point shooters in the league.
Yeah, a seven-foot-two guard who got an unbelievable handle, outrageously good three-point shooter, and if needed, can defend centers and be a rim protector.
Kevin Durant has like one shot blocked a season. Like, you know what I mean? Like he as an offensive weapon, like go get a bucket at the end of a game, mm-hmm. which is like the currency of winning NBA games. There's no one you'd rather have, arguably ever. Because of his shot being unblockable. And I know, like I'm a diehard Jordan guy, but the dude's 7'1". It's a freak of nature type thing. So I still don't agree with this headline and this framing on ESPN, by the way. Kevin Durant requests a trade from the Nets. He did, but then the Nets granted him it. Like, the headline should not be that he requested a trade.
Don't you think that's a nod to the absurd power that the players have? That's enough to cinch the deal. Like, we see that, and just merely the request, it's assumed he's going to get it now. So here we go.
Well,
that's a nod to the player empowerment in the NBA, the fact that it doesn't even need that, by the way the Nets have granted it.
The Nets, I guess.
Because they don't really grant it until they actually trade him. And make the deal, technically.
Well, right, but the reporting was that the Nets have given Durant and his business partner, Rich Kleiman, who has helped make Kevin Durant, you know, well on the way to a path of being a billionaire. Kevin Durant's like one of the shrewdest athlete investors and like media moguls and businessmen that we've ever seen. This Rich Kleiman guy is unbelievable, his story. The reporting was that they have said, yeah, go out there and look for trade packages. Like, yes, go facilitate a trade. So I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's the story. Is that the net? It's not that Kevin Durant has requested it. It's that the Nets are going to do it.
Does the fact that he's such a mental midget not bother you at all?
Who, Durant?
Yeah,
I don't think he's a mental midget. I don't agree with that assessment. I think he's very sensitive, and he's got burner accounts. He's mercurial, and he's like combative and stuff like that.
It doesn't bother you in a locker room?
I haven't heard of him being an issue in a locker room like that.
Okay,
he fit into Golden State very comfortably and very well. I feel like he was the stable one with the Nets as compared to Kyrie and Simmons and Harden. Like, he was a guy trying to hold it together.
I always described Kevin Durant as, like, the most millennial of the millennial athletes.
Right, super sensitive, reads everything, but in the end shows up and shows up strong and gets it done. I mean, yeah, it's intense to see him like talking smack directly to the TNT guys. So there's something to talk about there in terms of his personality. But no, and I think even going back to Oklahoma City, I feel like Westbrook was the more problematic Wolverine than KD was as well.
Yeah, you know? I mean, Kevin Durant is sensitive. Like, he's a sensitive dude who, there are pictures of it, like, he hits a game winner and he's back in the locker room and his team is still jumping around celebrating and he's already on his phone checking his mentions. Like, he's addicted to social media, like a lot of millennials. I would love to know his screen time. Like, the guy, he fights with trolls on the internet. You know, it's a crazy thing to understand when he legitimately is probably already worth $500 million plus and is one of the greatest basketball players ever. But that's who he is. And he doesn't like the legacy talk. He hates the media. He doesn't like ranking players. He just wants to hoop and make money and fight online.
So Mike McGraw of the Daily Herald has looked at it and throws this out. Vooch, Patrick Williams, Portland's one, a Bulls one, and any other player on the roster. So that's a way of getting it done without Zach LaVine.
Yeah, but not for the Nets. Why would they want Vooch? Bulls fans are so funny, man. Or like, and like, I, you know what, to be honest with you, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. Some Bulls media is so funny. Like, we're like, okay, who do the Bulls not need? Well, Vooch doesn't really fit. Kobe White, there's a logjam in the backcourt, and they're trying to win now, so future draft picks don't matter. I don't know. Let's acquire one of the 15 greatest basketball players in the history of the world on a four-year contract. That's not even close to enough. It's not even close. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. There is no way the Nets would accept something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a 3 or 4 team trade, because the things that the Nets are going to need to get back are so massive that, like, does Phoenix have all of their first round picks, or have they traded anyway? I don't know the answer to that, but like, I bet you this is going to be like 3 assets, 3 first round picks, and 3 draft swaps.
God, it's so crazy.
Like, I bet you it is going to blow people's mind what Kevin Durant gets traded for.
You know, you forget how much the Nets gave up to get Harden, which feels like 2 hissy fits ago. You know, because I guess it is for James Harden. I'm reminded here that the Rockets own the rights or can swap picks with Brooklyn in every one of the next 5 years. So Houston has the Nets pick in 24 and 26, and in 23, 25, and 27, they can swap picks. So the Nets are starved for assets. So it could be that, yes, they'll want players, but if they're looking to recoup like crazy amounts of draft assets, the Bulls might be in trouble as a yeah, non-starter in that way.
Yeah, right. Exactly. They don't have the draft assets, and Zach and Patrick Williams
would have to be in.
Well, they'd have to be in, and like, teams are going to beat that. Like, you know, like that's I think the point that I'm trying to drive home the most here.
It's a matter of what the Nets want. Do they want good players right away with some draft assets?
What I'm telling you is, if they want
good players, they'll get beat.
I think they will get both. I think they are going to get good players and good draft assets. Multiple players, multiple first round picks, multiple draft swaps. Like that wouldn't surprise me in the least. But yes, even if it was, like, what's better, Zach LaVine and Patrick Williams or Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton?
Man, God, life moves fast. The Phoenix Suns are now the favorites to win next year's NBA title.
Yeah.
Yeah. With report of a Kevin Durant trade request. That's happening at Caesars. Right now at Caesars Sports, the Suns are 11-2, followed by the Warriors, and then the Celtics, and then the Heat. But that's the power of the assumption that if KD wants Phoenix, he gets Phoenix.
I'll check to confirm. A texter is saying that the Suns do have all of their picks. If they have all of their picks and he's on KD's list, it's going to be very tough to beat that package of Bridges and Ayton and draft picks. But, you know, Bulls fans, hey man, dream. But I think you're ending today with Zach LaVine on a max contract. Boog Shambi in 20 minutes. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameTip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Afternoons on the Score.
I mean, you want to definitely play great against the best teams in the league, for sure. Especially after losing last game, we wanted to bounce back no matter who it was against. You know? But it's good to come in here in a tough environment and get a W. You know, this team has been extremely hot lately. The crowd is starting to rally around the team. The city, you can feel it, that they are starting to understand that Chicago Bulls basketball is back. So for us to come in here and win in this fashion, it meant a lot to us.
That was Kevin Durant when he was praising the Bulls organization and the city and the fans and beating the Bulls.
That's after they came in and just beat the bejesus out of him. You remember that?
Sure, of course.
We were so excited for that game. We hyped it up and we're looking forward to it. And then there was a 47-10 run in that game by the Nets. And I remember coming in here the next day and saying, yeah, that one's going to leave a mark.
Yeah. Like, well, because that was the game where basically everybody played, right? Like the Nets big three played, and they had only played like 10 or 11 games total together over last year and this year. And the Bulls had, I think they didn't have Lonzo in that game, but they had their big three out there. Like, so like the teams were mostly healthy. There was a ton of hype for it.
Yeah.
And then the Nets were like, oh yeah.
They were tied at 71. That was a deadlock game. And then the Nets went on a 47-10 run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, you know, no one's ever going to believe the Bulls are going to beat a real good team again. Yeah. No. Nobody's going to believe that.
Right.
Everybody's going to think the Bulls are just sort of a pretender.
Yeah.
In terms of the very top of the league.
Yeah. And then it
came true.
Came true. Right. Exactly. And then everybody got hurt and it came true.
Yeah.
And it somehow was a disappointing season when they won 46 games and made the playoffs.
Coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But hey, core continuity, baby. It's all happening. It's all going to change. All going to go well.
Texter says, I'm nuts for thinking the Bulls would have to give up so much for Kevin Durant. Look how many years he's been in the league. Look at the wear and tear, and he's already had a major injury. Okay.
No, people age surprisingly well in the NBA in terms of like the middle of their early 30s, if you will. What's Durant?
No, he's 34.
Oh, he is 34.
Yeah. He's also been skipping leg day for the last 20 years. Well, see that guy's calves? They're two picks.
He's 33 right now. He will be 34 opening night. He turns 34 in September. So you would be paying for his 34, 35, 36, and 37 age seasons. So but again, man, he's unbelievable. like he's one of those guys that, how many players in the NBA are you confident right now are better than a fully healthy Kevin Durant?
Well, and look at LeBron's 34, 35, and 36-year-old seasons. Just absolutely outrageous.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't really have any reason to think that Durant is not going to still play into his... play up to just about his peak until right around then. I mean, maybe you're paying for one year at the end of a descent, but yeah, no, I would give up a lot, which is what we're talking about.
Yeah, and someone's going to. So that's the Bulls part of the fantasy. What other teams are going to trade for him is probably more of what the NBA reality is going to be. What do you think Bulls reality is by the end of this whole process? It's Zach LaVine on a max deal, Kobe White traded, and some mid-level dudes signed to short contracts?
Well, that all could happen by 5:30 today.
Yeah.
5 o'clock is when NBA free agency begins in earnest. And last year, the Bulls and our tourist Karnishevus were very, very active right away. We had crazy amounts of Bulls news live right here on the show as it was going down, and we could conceivably have that tonight. I think they're going to sign. I think they have a target among the free agent big men, and I think you're going to see that pretty quickly. For them to openly talk about that as a priority makes me think those conversations have begun. Do you think there's any trepidation because of the charges from last year about Lonzo Ball, the tampering charges? Do you think there's any trepidation and they're going to come out a little slower this year because of it?
First of all, I don't think you can tamper with your own free agent. Like Zach, I know
in terms of Zach, I'm talking about Lonzo and DeMar came out so fast. So if a Mo Bamba offer is going to come out fast, or that kind of thing.
You can make an offer the second that free agency opens. Whether the guy accepts it or not, I don't know. I mean, maybe they got slapped on the wrist with the second rounder. We know that this sort of thing happens all the time. You just have to delay, like letting Woj or Shams know a couple of minutes, and you're probably going to get away with it. Lonzo and DeMar were big dominoes to fall. You know, like, not every guy signs immediately. Like, a guy who's going to take the Bulls' mid-level exception and sign for, you know, $9 million, $10 million bucks, that guy doesn't necessarily sign his contract at 501 when free agency opens. So I don't know that those types of moves necessarily happen immediately.
By the way, John Hollinger from The Athletic, the former front office man in Memphis, tweeted this. Reminder for fake trade creators, the Nets aren't doing a deal to tank. Houston owns their next five drafts. It's got to be something for real basketball players. So he thinks they will lean more towards real, legit players than they would draft assets.
Bridges and Ayton.
Sure, but that puts the Bulls back in it, though, in terms of, you know, because you don't have the draft capital.
Because you don't have the draft capital. Right, well, so, but Zach would need to want to go to the Nets because he's a free agent, right? So that would have to be a sign-in trade, and he'd have to sign off on going to Brooklyn.
Right, but, you know, teams and players have to work together on that kind of thing, but remember, Zach could get that extra year and all those extra millions only through a sign-in trade if he goes.
Yeah, it's not, yes, but... And the same thing for Ayton, right? Like Ayton has there's contractual obligations there. So I think that what most likely happens here. I agree with Hollinger that it's going to be more players than draft picks. But they could also want to recoup some draft picks because of how many they gave away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, we gave so many away, it didn't work. Like, I think it's going to be a combination. Like I said, I bet you that when it's done, it will be regarded as the biggest trade in NBA history. Not in terms of like what a trade that shifts or swings titles necessarily, like that we'll have to see. But in terms of capital exchanged, assets given up, can you like what is that now? What's the trade in NBA history that got the biggest return? In terms of, you know what I mean?
In terms of draft capital or in terms of player quality?
Like in the NFL, we say, oh, Herschel Walker is the biggest trade, right? What's the thing that... Because, I mean, we can do, you know, Scottie Pippen traded, Kobe Bryant traded, like, on, you know, early drafts, you know.
Right.
Like they're like, oh, that was a trade that ended up, like, reshaping franchises going forward. But I'm talking about, like, they gave up three players and three picks for player X. What is the biggest haul in NBA trade history?
That's a good question.
Nets Celtics was pretty big. When they got Garnett and Pierce.
Yes.
That Celtics was pretty big.
That's a big-time unload of full-on players.
Because some of the times, like what you're talking about when you referenced Melo, those guys don't end up getting traded for the biggest haul because the player has the team over a barrel,
mm-hmm.
and they end up having to trade him for like 60 cents on the dollar because they're worried about them leaving in free agency. This is you get 4 years of Kevin Durant.
Listen to Garnett from Minnesota to the Celtics in 2007. Okay? Listen to this. Al Jefferson, Ryan Gomes, Sebastian Telfair, Gerald Green, Theo Ratliff, cash considerations, Boston's 2009 first-round draft pick, and the 2009 first-round pick, which Minnesota had traded to Boston. So, two picks, five players, and cash considerations.
That's big. That's big.
Oh, my God.
How about when the Lakers got Pau Gasol in 2008... trading away his own brother, Marc Gasol, Kwame Brown, Javaris Crittenton, Aaron McKee, and first-round picks in both 2008 and 2010.
Oh, yeah, so two picks, four players.
That kind of kick-started the Grizzlies, like 2007, 2008, 2009, yeah. 2010.
I feel like at the time, though, that felt like robbery, but then Marc Gasol...
Oh, they fleeced.
Yeah. Marc Gasol became really good, but at the time, that was an absolute... I mean, that gave Kobe his non-Shaq title because he got Powell.
What did Miami get for Shaq to L.A.? Was it Lamar Odom and Caron Butler, I remember? And there was another guy. So there were three players.
Yeah.
But no.
Ryan brought up a good one, Carmelo. The Knicks sent away Wilson Chandler, Danilo Gallinari, Raymond Felton, Timofey Mozgov, and a future first-round pick and two future seconds.
Yeah, but see,
and like, the right to exchange 2016 first-round picks and cash considerations to Denver, who sent Eddie Curry, Anthony Randolph, and Carmelo.
That's just so
to
much.
Minnesota.
Look up the Celtics Nets trade. The Pierce Garnett. When
Prokhorov
bought the Nets,
yeah, and then traded
for all the old guys.
Yeah, he bought the end of the Celtics dynasty.
He gave up like 100 draft picks or something. Like that was ridiculous. Because Melo was like, I'm gonna leave if you don't trade me, and so they traded him, and they got a bunch of dudes who were like, they got a bunch of players, but none of them were good. Like, oh, Wilson Chandler, sweet. It's Carmelo Anthony. He's one of the greatest scorers out, you know.
All right, so it was Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett to the Nets, along with Jason Terry and DJ White. In exchange, they got Gerald Wallace, Chris Humphries, Marshawn Brooks, Chris Joseph, Keith Bogans, first-round picks in 2014, 2016, 2018, and the right to swap 2017 first-round.
Right, so three firsts, a swap, and four players for old KG and old Pierce.
Well, how about, okay.
Did that bring the Kardashian curse when Chris Humphries went over there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, there's so many.
That's when it began.
Devin Booker is now broken up with Kendall, right?
Oh, so she's available?
She's available.
Yeah, you're in there.
she's leaving. See you, man.
Bye.
How about Anthony Davis to the Lakers? Guy. Anthony Davis to the Lakers is pretty recently, and that's a player younger and obviously, you know, in his prime. Anthony Davis to the Lakers for Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and three first-round picks.
That's a big trade.
That's three picks. Three picks and three players. And Ingram and Ball were top five picks, both of them.
Yes, that's huge. That's a massive, massive trade. And this one I predict will beat that. That's a good one. This trade will top that one, I would imagine. Boog Shambi, lots of interesting Cubs things, big picture baseball as well, which he's fantastic on. It's next on The Score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.